race to savings at Menards and start updating your home today. We offer an excellent in-stock selection of home appliances that are ready to take home today, including Criterion refrigerators, freezers, dishwashers, and laundry appliances. They're built to help make your life simple. No matter how busy life gets, Criterion appliances are ready when you are. Plus, view our weekly flyer on Menards.com and race to savings on Criterion appliances.
Save big money at Menards.
Get ready, George. We are mother bleepin' live, Mr. Gracie Show 125, I believe. Yeah. Okay, and I have zero cameras now. Wow. Good stuff, folks. Let's see. Let's see. Okay. Boom, bonga, boom. Oh my goodness. Wow. Sorry, folks. There's not the gracious two. There's a
gracious one and a half.
You heard Mr. Chad Gracie, though.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Can folks hear? Can folks hear?
Can you hear me?
And then
I
that's being added. Boom, bucka boom, bucka boom.
Okay. The test. Can everyone hear me?
Can everyone hear? Can everyone hear?
Mm-hmm.
Bing, bong, boom.
Waiting for feedback.
Waiting for feedback. Can you hear?
Hear.
Hello. Yeah, so hopefully you can hear us. And if so, we're going to do a double shot of the show today. Bunga, bunga, boo, doo. It says, oops, something went wrong. Try reloading the page. That's a Wi-Fi thing, but let me, just so we know that you folks can hear.
You can only hear J-Ro. Still.
Can only hear J-Ro still.
My God.
Marona mia. Let's see this.
So in conclusion,
hold on.
I want to thank my fans.
Audio, no.
My mom, my dad. My unborn children.
They're still in his nuts. They're trying to swim out, but no. Can you hear George? Can you hear Chad say? Speak up.
Can you hear me? I have a lot to say.
Check one, two.
Check, baby, one, two.
And some people want to hear it.
Audio.
Not many, but some people.
Yeah. We'll go Main. Road Main. Can you hear Chad? Can you hear Chad?
One, two.
Checky, one, two. Checky, one, two.
So we're getting any feedback from anyone?
I'm still waiting to hear. Boom, 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 boom. Let me check the chat. How we doing, folks? Can you hear us? Can you hear? And you're not on Facebook, some Troy Carmen is saying. We can hear J-Ro. Drumming up conversation. Can you hear everybody? Chad, can you
check
say something?
Two. Check one, two. Can you hear me?
Check, baby.
George Taylor here.
Can you hear me?
That's
very patiently waiting,
Mr. Garman,
for the
Chad Taylor's
audio to work.
Grandfather, George Taylor.
No.
Hello.
Relation. No relation.
Hello, I'm George Taylor.
No direct relation, at least.
Oh.
Well, my grandfather was a bigamist.
There we go. Troy says, "Okay,
Chad Taylor,
we're good. We're
one of my relatives, but there's been no proof."
Right.
So the only proof in the pudding was when you and Chad docked. The Taylors became Taylors. Hey now.
All right. So I guess I gotta tell the whole story again.
Yep, all over again.
We're here to talk about George Taylor's new book. Check it out. You can buy it on Amazon. And in this book, George talks about his experience with having a heart attack. And we were on a hike together in Rocky Ridge State Park in York County, Pennsylvania. And we were deep in the woods, hiking through the terrain. And as we got to the access road, George started to feel dizzy, so he sat down a little bit, and then he felt like he could go on, so we walked a few more yards, and he suddenly collapsed. And
those are crickets from your brush.
Right, and I helped him down, and on his way down, he broke his ankle. We found that out later. It was, you know, he kind of became obviously dead weight and just fell over. So I started, could tell he was in distress, obviously, either having a seizure. That was my first thought. But then it was kind of became more apparent that he was having a heart attack. And so I called 911. I began CPR. And I'm a drummer, but I was doing it fast. So I slowed down my pace. And the new rules for CPR say no mouth-to-mouth. But the 911 operator here in lovely York, Pennsylvania, was telling me to perform mouth-to-mouth. So I was doing that. I had to wipe away foam from George's mouth.
What a man you are.
And I did that, and I did a few breaths, and then pumped, you know, doing the CPR on the chest, and I broke some ribs. Sorry, George.
Did you tickle his taint a little bit?
I did not.
No? Okay.
Go to his nether regions, no. And then I did one full round with breath, a second full round with breath. I was gagging the whole time, and then I thought to myself, if he tells me to do breaths again, I'm not doing it, and if this is why George, poor George, passed away, then it's in God's hands because I just couldn't do the breaths anymore.
So be it.
So I did CPR for about, I don't know, 12 to 15 minutes, something like that. EMS arrives. They take over. Thank God. I was exhausted, so I was sitting back about 10 to 15 feet on a log. And everyone's kind of working around him, and all of a sudden everyone starts going, ow, ow. And it turns out that someone stepped on a yellow jacket nest in the ground, and that was right off the trail where we were.
My God.
Everyone started getting stung. A cop grabs him by the ankle, grabs George by the ankle and drags him down the trail 15, 20 feet. And they continue to work on him. They get him into the ambulance, and they did get a pulse once they got him in the ambulance. So now I'm talking to the police and going over everything. And at this point, I had no other thing to do but leave. So I get in the car, and now the access road to the park is blocked by all the trucks that are, you know, have George in the back, and I'm like second in line in the traffic, and there's a guy in front of me, and he says, oh, when they take this long, the guy's dead.
Wow.
And I was like, what? I was like, that's my friend. Like, I just did CPR on him. He's like,
yeah.
Yeah, when they take this long, he's probably dead. And I'm like, Jesus fucking Christ. So I was kind of freaking out. And what had happened was they had to call in a whole nother EMS crew because there were people going into shock from being stung by the yellow jackets.
Wow.
And so that's what caused the delay. So they got a pulse on George. They got him, you know, his heart pumping again, took him to the hospital. And then I went to visit George right after, and amnesia was amazing. It was like, why am I here? What am I doing? It was fucking wild, actually. I was like, wow.
My first comment, I called one of my doctor friends. I said, Charles, where am I? I don't trust anyone here.
Right. Yeah.
I need you to find out what's going on. And he, of course, then talked to the staff and found out what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was satisfied. And then
for a little while, then you forgot.
And then an hour later,
I called
him again.
Yes.
And I called Charles six times until 3 o'clock in the morning. And the final time in the morning, he hung up on me and says, you know, I'm done.
The dishes are done, man. I've told you 900 times.
That's right.
Oh, my.
You are pigheaded and I can't take it anymore.
Yeah. George, when you're in that state, is it a cool state to be in, like not knowing, remembering and all that stuff and not being so like connected?
I don't think there's anything cool about it.
Okay.
I mean, number one is that I have no real memories. And really what happened is, you know, there was some loss of blood to the head, to the, you know, the brain. And so therefore I just had like 6 days of very mixed up memories. And I remember seeing on the, in the hospital on the ball, on the board, it said short-term memory problems. And I said, what's that mean?
And, who's that for?
Who's that for? But anyways, and you know, it turns out, you know, I didn't have any idea that I had any problems before this. And what I found out is that I broke my leg. I had a spiral fracture in my left ankle.
Yeah.
It was very inconvenient, but did not require surgery. Just a walking boot for, you know, a month or two. I had, in my heart, I had 3 major bypasses, which is, you know, they took arteries and put them across my chest. In my neck, I had carotid arteries. Both sides were completely blocked, 95% and 90%.
Oh my God!
So they had to put stents in first before they did the open heart surgery because I wouldn't have got enough blood to the brain to do things.
George was a walking time bomb.
Yeah, man.
And then, worse than that, then I found out that I was diabetic, stage 2 diabetes.
Jesus.
Which basically meant, you know, no carbs, and, you know, I didn't have to take any medication.
And no more hookers. Jesus Christ, George.
Right? I've been lighting up on the hookers for quite some time.
Okay, good. Good, good for you.
A long, long time. A long time, yes. Like, you know, 30 or 40 years. You
know? Good.
Yeah. But anyways, so it was kind of interesting, you know, going through this whole experience, but I had no memory of any of it. And matter of fact, a couple of days later, I'm looking, feeling my hair. It's really short. And I said, I got my hair cut. So I asked Chad, did you get a haircut? He said, yeah, we got a haircut that morning. And I said, no way.
Yeah.
And then I looked at my phone, and I had a picture of the guy who gave me the haircut.
Okay.
On my phone. We have no idea at which place it was, because Chad wasn't sure, but I really should go find
the guy. I don't
know
where I went. Yeah.
We don't remember which barbershop.
Isn't it kind of cool being that, like, blissfully, like, brain vagrant, or what is the word?
Vacant.
There you go.
It's not a vagrant.
Well, yeah, unfortunately, it didn't clear out my brain. What it did is it just jumbled everything.
Right.
So I kind of felt like it was a computer files that were all misfiled. Like, I remember things, but I remember in fragments. You know, names, like I'd be talking to someone and I wouldn't remember their name. And tell me the name, I would say, yeah, that's the right person. But I had no clue. You know, like, I couldn't recall it. And so I had to use my phone quite a bit, you know, with names and stuff just to, you know, figure out who everyone was because I didn't know.
Now, George, are you thinking you're going to get your scruples back at some point, or are you thinking this is it forever?
At that time, I wasn't thinking.
Right. Okay.
So you know, and that was the hardest part about it is that I had no self-awareness how screwed up I was. And
right.
Yeah. We were doing some appointments at the time, and you know, my friend Bill basically said, you can't talk to anyone without having someone else on the phone with you. And I'm like, what? I've always done things on my own. I'm very independent, and I'm pretty good at what I do. And but
yeah, you're okay at what you do. I mean,
I'm sometimes okay. But so I didn't realize how ineffective I was. And that, and as I got smarter, or, you know, back to where I was,
right,
it was kind of embarrassing, you know, how much I had lost.
Mm.
And so I've had to do a lot of rehab. You know, I mean, I was basically in the hospital for 4 weeks.
Yeah,
at York Hospital, the main hospital, and had, you know, and they were, you know, I wasn't allowed to walk because I had a broken ankle, so they, you know, put me in a wheelchair and wheeled me all over, you know, so I had X-rays and CAT scans and blah blah blah.
You were a nurse's dream, I bet.
Oh, nurses love me.
Yeah,
I'm not sure why.
Yeah, you're like, hey, I need another ball bag cleaning.
And of course, you know, I didn't listen to them, so.
Right.
Yeah, you know, they told me I couldn't get up. I tried to get up. I mean, usual story. And I told everyone, you know, I told everyone that I was going to do an Ironman again, which is, you know,
yes,
a long triathlon.
Yes.
I'm going to recover. And everyone's like, You can't even walk.
I think
you
you're fresh out of surgery and you're asking the doctor when you can do an Ironman again. I wouldn't recommend it.
Is he being serious though, Chad? No. Or is he?
I was dead serious.
Wow.
There was no way, friends or buts.
There's such an ego on you, George.
By the way, George has done many Ironmen. He's
gotcha.
So it wasn't. Yeah. I wasn't doing something I couldn't do.
Understood.
Something I just couldn't do now, and I might be able to do something in the future, but not quite yet.
We're gonna arm wrestle after the podcast, by the way.
But anyways, so I had, you know, 4 weeks in the hospital, and then I went over to Apple Hill Rehab Hospital, which is a whole, you know, separate place. And I was there for 3 weeks. And, you know, and again, I had to learn how to walk.
Wow.
I had to learn how to, you know, we actually worked on going into the kitchen and picking up dishes. I mean,
my God.
I mean, I had to be retrained on everything because, you know, nothing worked. So my whole brain... I just had to, you know, be rewired, and it was quite an experience.
You got to go back and tell the part about how integral Bill jumped into action.
Yeah, so we got Chad Gracie, who's the rock star.
Yes.
And so my recommendation, if you want to live, is you should hike with Chad Gracie. Where else do you have someone who can do 20 minutes of CPR and in perfect cadence.
Perfect.
He claimed he was a little fast, but personally, I like the fast part.
What's crazy about that is we've been on many hikes in that park, and we've been way back in the woods. Yeah. Had that not happened along the road, I don't think he would have made it.
Yeah, I don't think I would have either. Yeah.
Wow.
Because, you know, we used to do between 3 and 5 miles, and you know, Rocky Ridge is very hilly. It's rocky for a reason,
right?
And there are trails, and we were on the trail. And I didn't have any idea where it collapsed. And so it gets some more interesting. So I go back there on Saturdays very often and hike. And so a couple months later, actually about a year later, I ran into a park ranger. And I went up to his window and I said, you know, did you remember the guy who had the heart attack? And he says, yeah, I was the person that was the first responder. Mm. I got the call. I wasn't on property. I got there in 6 minutes. I got stung 30 times.
Right. Oh, he got stung 30 times.
Wow. Yeah, he got 30 times, and he found out that he was not allergic to bees. But he also,
thank God.
But what he also did is he spent 3 months every week spraying the bee's nest to get rid of it because it was in the ground and it was huge. And he took me back, and so I didn't have any idea where it was. So we actually went back and found where we were and found the bees, and there were still a couple left.
Jesus.
Wow.
And, you were looking at the dead bees, George?
No.
The hive.
The hive.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. This is yellow long jackets. Long after.
Saying bees, it's yellow jackets.
Yeah, right.
They're not bees.
Those ground-dwelling motherfuckers. That
pricks.
And they go after
aggressive.
You.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Aggressive. Yeah.
So, and I don't think I got stung at all. Because I, you know, a couple of days later, I did check my body and see if there was any welts or anywhere.
Yeah, they weren't paying attention to you. You were dying.
I was dead.
You're right. They're like, hey, old man, we don't need your blood. Or
they like people that run.
You're right.
So the park ranger told you got there in 6 minutes. So
yeah.
Obviously, my had a little time distortion as well. I thought it was longer, but
that was the park ranger,
right?
But that wasn't the ambulance. He was there before the ambulance.
Oh yeah, I guess we're
okay. Because the ambulance took 20 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah. So he was there immediately, and you know,
I forgot about that.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah, and I got a picture of him, you know, by the place, you know, thanking him.
Sure.
Cool.
You should fucking, you know.
But the other thing is that so on the pyramid side, because this gets more interesting. So on the pyramid side, four of the paramedics, you know, that were in the ambulance. Were admitted in the emergency room, and two of them were treated for anaphylactic shock and had to stay overnight.
Jesus.
Wow.
And the reason I know this, it gets even better, is that this happened September 3rd, and in November, my defibrillator went off. And again, when I had the surgery, I had the defibrillator put in and a pacemaker put in, and my defibrillator went off. And I was actually, again, on the phone talking to Chad Gracie when it happened.
What's with me?
Hey, now.
What a connection. And he goes, And I remember,
make his
I
heart
I told you,
stop.
I wasn't feeling good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so what happened was, is that, you know, it was like 7 o'clock. I fell asleep and I had a dream. This is my only out-of-body experience. I was floating in the air, facing upward like this. And I tried to turn downward and I fell back into bed and went back to sleep. So at 7 o'clock in the morning, I get buzzed because the people that monitor the pacemaker and the defibrillator, you know, don't work overnight. So they didn't do anything. But at 7 o'clock, they came in and they saw that it had gone off.
That's not a 24-hour monitoring service.
You would think
they monitor all the time, but they don't man it.
Okay, but still, no one's calling you at 4 a.m. when it goes.
Hey.
Off?
And it's funny because what they said is that it went off twice.
Oh, shit.
And if it goes off twice, you have to go to the emergency room. Okay, so I got called, you know, the ambulance came in. And so I'm talking to the guys, you know, again, I'm fine at this point. Like, I had other than it went off, I had no issues.
I don't know if that was a dream.
You wonder. Yeah.
NDE. You floated up out of your body. You're like,
yeah.
The defibrillator brought you back. Holy shit. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah. So my defibrillator went up and my heart was up to like 250. That's why the defibrillator.
250?
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah. Jesus.
So I'm in the ambulance and I'm talking to the guys. I said, about the guy who had the heart attack at Rocky Ridge? He goes, oh, my God, that was my wife who picked you up.
Oh.
So, okay. She was in a separate ambulance. And when I got to York emergency room, she came out and said hi. So I met her.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's cool.
God bless.
And, of course, the funniest thing is, not funny, but none of the ambulance drivers knew that I lived.
Oh shit! Wow.
They had no information on what happened to me, and matter of fact, what she said is, "I thought you were dead."
Wow.
That's how bad it was in the ambulance.
Oh my God! Wow.
So, anyways, that's the experience, and then I had to do a lot of rehab, and I've been exercising, and then what I decided to do, I decided to write a book called The Second Chance Almanac.
Boom shakalaka!
And that book basically
hold it up again.
Yeah, sorry.
There you go. Amazon.com.
And we're going to post links and all that jazz. And George, I'm going to do the audio book. I'm going to read it for you.
Okay.
And he did not include my name in the book because he said he didn't have permission, but he didn't ask me.
Hey, son of a bee. You know what I'm saying? You save a dude's life, you figure you get a mention or something.
Well, you know, I mean, this is an example of Chad Gracie being graciously quiet. You know, I've known a lot of rock stars in my life. Well, not many.
Oh, you have?
A few. And the one thing I love about Chad is that he is not egotistical. You know,
he picks the corn right out of his poop for me to eat.
Right. I'll tell you a funny story about Chad meeting one of our friends. We were at dinner with one of our good friends.
I won't mention
the name because I'm not sure I have permission.
Okay.
But his son,
came
over and I introduced Chad. I said, "This is Chad. Oh. You know, he's the best drummer in the world." And he looked at him and goes, "No, he isn't. The guy from Foreigner is better."
Oh, really?
Yeah. And Chad's friend, you know, the father was just mortified. It was great.
As should be.
I didn't take offense. I was like, yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah. No way, dude. Foreigner, they got some gay drums.
I don't even know who the drummer was for Foreigner.
He was Tulang.
Off the top of my head.
He was no Chad Gracie, I'll tell you that.
No Chad Gracie. So anyway, so I became obviously I'm a Chad Gracie fan because without him, I wouldn't be here.
The Foreigner, they're no longer Foreigner. They're illegal immigrants, just so you know.
They changed their name.
They changed their name, yeah. They're touring under a different act.
But the left calls them legal immigrants.
That's right.
The left just calls them immigrants. They take
Gracie's got some jokes.
Sorry, guys. No politics.
Maybe
not political. That's just factual.
Right.
Anyway. So the problem is, you know, I was a poli sci major in college, and I have a major understanding of the world that we work in, and it was much worse than whatever I thought. You know, that's all I'm going to say.
Wow.
This is true.
So
there you go.
There it is from George's brain. Yes. But can you go a little deeper, George?
Not on the politics side, but on the recovery side. Yes.
Yeah.
So, you know, here's the thing that I found out. First of all, most people in cardiac do not rehab very well. I mean, you go through the, you know, you're assigned, you go to a, you know, rehab, you get on a bicycle or a treadmill, and you do some exercises for 20 minutes and some little bit of weights, and it helps.
Yeah.
But after that, they don't really have any instructions, and there's no instructions about diet, and there's no instructions about exercise. And yeah, so one of the reasons I did
Western medicine
second chance book is that I wanted to talk about what I did
right
to recover. And it's pretty interesting. And, you know, again, you know, from a diet standpoint, I was a vegetarian for 50 years.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Well, you know, I mean, think about all the cows that I saved over 50 years.
Sure. Sure.
Not, or chickens or whatever. But what I learned with all my studies, and I studied, you know, nutrition, and you know, took it very seriously. And again, I had gained a fair amount of weight from when I was, you know, really exercising heavily. So I lost that weight. You know, I thought being a vegetarian was healthier, and turns out I don't think it was. I ate a lot of carbs, and because I was diabetic, the glucose spikes caused a lot of the problems.
Oh yeah.
And so pretty much the conclusion right now is that if you want to treat your heart, you don't go and have, you don't care about cholesterol, you don't care about eating fat, but you do care about how much sugar and how many carbohydrates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you want to get it down to, you know, 20 grams or less in a day to begin with, and then you can, you know,
20 grams of
carbohydrates.
Really?
Or less.
That's
or less.
That's very low. I do 40 or under usually.
Well,
for ketosis, that 20s, I mean, you barely eating. And,
well, I mean, you don't eat any carbohydrates. You get an apple. Apple is 20 grams.
Yeah. Banana is 26.
Right. But anyways, so, you know, that was one thing. And then learning, for example, that, you know, I used to do sunflower seed oil and sunflower seed oil, and all the seed oils
are
horrible.
Horrible.
Yeah.
And it's such an easy thing to do. So just eat, you know, butter. And I didn't, you know, I had started using butter for a while. So, but I had probably 20 years of
grass-fed butter.
Grass-fed butter.
I love butter.
Yeah.
Me too.
I just eat it right off the stick.
Do you really?
Fuck yeah.
Wow. I've never tried it. Is it good?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I
think it's better to use beef tallow or butter to cook with.
Yeah.
Especially beef tallow, but yeah.
Yep. And then obviously olive oil.
I mean, yep.
So olive oil. You want to get virgin olive oil that's, you know, not
anything virgin. We know that, George.
Want to make sure it's real olive oil too. There's a lot of bullshit.
That's true. Olive oil out there. That's true.
Yeah.
So, you know, no desserts. You know, ice cream is gone. You know, I'll treat myself maybe once a week to a little bit of ice cream, but that's about it.
I figure, though, I mean, what is your age, George?
I don't really want to admit.
Okay, so I would say 62 at the max.
John,
that age,
I love you. Okay,
no problem.
I'm not gay. No intentions, but I love you.
Same, not gay either.
But here's the thing.
Talk to me. My number is no.
No. So as of a couple days, I'll be 69 and a half.
Hey now.
And a half.
And a half.
And a half.
So in June 25th of next year, I'll be 70.
Let's go.
But I'm feeling healthier than I have in probably 15 years.
Good for you.
It's awesome.
So I'm feeling I'm getting younger, not older at this point.
And you count that from the sugars and carbs that you're taking out?
Well, that and concentrating on sleep.
Yeah.
One of the other things is I had sleep apnea.
Okay.
Because when I got heavier, you know, I snored all the time. But that, when I got heavier, I snored worse.
Right.
And so I had a CPAP machine, which, you know, was put on your face and you know, blows air in your, and I hated it.
Yeah, I think everyone does.
So what I did is I, back in January, I did the Inspire device, which is basically they insert a monitor in your heart that goes up to your tongue.
Okay.
It shocks your tongue when you stop breathing. So it makes your tongue move up, you know, move out
That's
of the way.
Weird, man.
That is so strange.
And it was.
How does it know?
I don't know.
Time?
Sensors or something.
Yeah, man. Sensors.
Wow.
Yeah. So, but anyways.
And what does it do though? Like, so
it allows you to breathe. So you don't need a CPAP machine.
Okay.
I mean, I got
it just like
packed up my CPAP machine and I'm going to throw it away. Because I still, you know, still have money on it or something.
Got to reenact the scene in Office Space where you break it up with a fucking baseball bat.
Hey, let's go. I'll help.
They have like a little electrode on the back of your tongue, right?
So what happens is there's here and there's a wire that goes up.
This is inside his body.
That's crazy.
And then it goes, you know, it's close to right here.
Okay.
And
Jesus.
I mean, it was.
And it just kicks on automatically? Like you don't need to hit a button or anything?
No. When you go to sleep, you have a thing, you go and put it on your heart.
Okay.
Just a button. And it beeps and it's on.
Oh, so you do have to turn it on.
You have to turn it on. Okay. And then when you, and this is important, you get up in the night. You can't drink anything.
Why?
Because it can shock you, and it may choke to death. So,
oh wait, what?
I mean, that's what they said. Shit. I'm not sure. I haven't quite figured out the mechanics of it. But anyways, I got paranoid enough, so you can turn it off.
Right.
And then you drink some water, and then you go back. You know.
Well, don't lose that little device that turns it on and off.
Yeah. Oh my God.
I have it. It was a nice case, and I put it in the case afterwards. And then, you know,
yes,
you got it. But you get up in the morning, if you're rushing, you're going, and you can feel it. You don't really feel it, but when you're awake, you can feel the shock.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
And you run over and get
that's
turn
so
it off.
Strange. That's so strange. Damn,
so that's called Inspire, right?
Inspire.
So if anyone has severe sleep apnea, look up
boom.
Inspire.
Boom.
I'm inspired. Yeah.
I'm inspired by hearing
by
that.
Hearing that.
And, yeah, I mean, 90% of the people that use it do well, and then 10% of it hate it.
The spouses of the CPAP people must love this new device.
Absolutely. Yeah, because I think that thing is loud at night, right? Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's like fucking constantly pumping air into your.
I would be like, hey lady, get another fucking room.
I don't need to be that in love, you know?
We could do separate bedrooms at that point.
Sleep is king.
I won't discuss that.
Well,
Georgie did leave me alone last night. Not like that, sir.
I like to be snuggled.
Snuggling is fuggling.
That's right. That is correct, sir.
You ever hear of a ball bag, George?
A comedian.
I don't know why I said that, but I thought it sounded cool.
Ball bag. Do you ever see the bowling balls where they actually take the ball and polish them?
That's a cool little thing they got going on there.
Just saying. Don't worry.
It's over my head
and.
Somebody else's head as well.
Don, I'm a very conservative.
Oh my goodness, I forgot.
I bless Barack Obama, the best president ever.
We know that. Anyway, he was. And his name is Hussein.
I heard there's Obama Hussein.
Obama Hussein.
Well,
Barack Hussein.
The best thing about Barack,
yeah,
as a president,
is Michael. Michael.
This is again, you know, about prejudice. Is we learned that a black person be a president and can suck. Okay. Yes. And we didn't blame him for being black.
True. True.
And that is the absolute truth.
Yeah, yeah. What did Joe Biden call him? Clean.
Cracky Joe. Is that what he said?
Yeah, he calls it as some quote. There's more to it, but he called him clean.
That's funny, man.
He didn't win a Nobel Peace Prize for what, we don't know.
Yeah. I mean,
but again, he caused more damage. Well, I don't know. There was a competition. See, that's the problem with recent presidents is you try to figure out who caused more damage. And I'm not sure who was worse.
Well, Operation Crossfire Hurricane caused a lot.
Might have been. Or
Joe. I don't know. It's a competition. So I think they're all...
Take a number, get in line, George. That's all I had to say.
I would say Joe was just mostly incompetent.
Yeah, he wasn't evil.
I feel like he was.
Barack sat and presided over one of the worst treasonous acts in U.S. history by basically trying to stage a coup against a duly elected president.
Yeah, and
knew that it was all false.
Yeah. And who knew that he had supposedly power outside of his presidency, too. Like he was
Joe Biden was his puppet.
Basically. Right. Yeah.
He was running the show. Come on.
Come on, man.
I'm going to write a book about it.
What are you going to call it?
I don't know.
A Third Chance.
Well, and then we were just, before we got on the podcast, seeing that Mr. Hunter Biden is on the Sean Ryan podcast.
Oh.
And that should be proved to be interesting. I'll definitely watch that, but.
We didn't get to actually watch it, but yeah, who was he? Was he on
Sean Ryan?
Sean Ryan.
Yeah,
I'm gonna try to look it up on Instagram, see if I can pull up a video and whatnot. Sean Ryan.
Trump gold cards sold $1.3 billion in 9 days. All right,
let's go.
Raising money for America.
I mean, people talking smack about the ballroom and all that shit.
Oh my god,
that's ridiculous, dude.
They didn't say shit about Barack's basketball court that costs $462 million, paid for by the taxpayers. The ballroom costs nothing for the taxpayers. Sorry,
I don't think I'm on the right Sean Ryan. I don't know.
No,
it could be, but
it was on TMZ.
That's
Instagram.
TMZ. You know what that stands for, Chad?
The 30-mile zone.
Yes, you son of a B. Yes. I wanted to have something cool.
30-mile zone around. Oh, I should have let you say it. I'm sorry.
All gravy, dude.
You asked. I know stupid random facts like that, so.
That's good on fucking Jeopardy.
Maybe.
How far back is it?
Boy, I don't know. Oh, there it is right there.
Yeah?
That's it.
This guy. Listen, George.
Yeah, legal immigration. Legal.
Oh, you know what? I don't think we're sharing. I don't think I shared the thing.
Oh, sharing is not caring.
Sharing is not caring. I would have had to have gone this way or something.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. But, Chad, that wasn't the video.
Here illegally. Draining us of resources and being prioritized above people that are actual literal heroes.
Oh, yes.
Whatever your position on the things that he did them exceedingly well and accomplished them. And he had mistakes like every other president's had. Some that really? I may disagree with, but absolutely 100% had some real failures also. So the way in which they executed the withdrawal from Afghanistan.
Oh, I think it was an obvious
failure. I think 13 Marines are dead. I think that there was a better way to do it. And I think I can blame it on his generals. I can blame it on the people, the way in which we did it. But my dad always knew this also, is that the buck stops with him. I think that was a failure. I don't think leaving Afghanistan was the right thing to do.
I cannot stand the way the Afghan withdrawal happened.
Yeah.
I don't even want to talk about it because it's going to get me into a really dark place.
Ooh. I hear your anger.
I love Sean.
And
me too.
And I'm not here to tell you that you shouldn't be angry.
Listen.
I assume that anybody that's running for president, if they could fix the immigration issue.
Sorry.
It's all right. I'll give Hunter credit for going on there because.
In the den.
Yeah, he put himself in the den. That's good. And Sean Ryan. Sounds like he wasn't.
It wasn't.
I haven't watched the interview yet. I'm going to, but it sounds like he wasn't pleasant with him.
Right, but it doesn't seem like he wasn't too hard on him either. You know, like it. Yeah, you know, I would like to.
But isn't that Newsom playbook these days?
Oh yeah, no, they're trying to do that. Yeah, they. Yeah. Yes, but but Newsom has a reason for it. Hunter is not running for president.
He's not.
I don't think so. I hope.
I my God, could you imagine?
Oh my God.
Who would his vice president be?
Crackhead Joe.
Crackhead Bob, yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Anyway, so I'll have to watch that. But, yeah, interesting. We do need legal immigration. We do need immigration. Legal immigration.
For sure.
I mean, I don't think any Republican or any person on the right or even centrist would disagree that we don't need immigration. Legal.
Immigration.
Immigration made America.
Absolutely.
Yes,
absolutely.
There's no question.
Legal immigration made America.
Because it's the only place in the world where you can come from all different places and have the chance to be successful.
Yes.
Yeah.
But you know, you got to follow the rules.
Legally.
Right.
And that's the problem. And if you don't follow the rules, then you probably shouldn't be here.
That's it.
But we know that that is not the motivation of the left, to have people come in and assimilate and follow the rules. They just want voters.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy, man? We were like this close, I think, if the 2020 election went by to pretty much having a one-party system, not getting 2024. I'm sorry. Yeah. To having a one-party system because the propaganda was getting crazy on.
If Kamala won, they would have imported millions and millions and more, and we would never have another Republican president again. It'd just be disaster.
Or he would be the most.
It would be like California, supermajority.
Yeah.
Where the, you know, the incompetence just fucking runs rampant. They got a Chevron is leaving California.
Really?
After 123 years.
Why? I'm guessing tax purposes. Well, yeah.
The regulations, the taxes. I mean, yeah, because it's a supermajority Democrat-run state. Valero is pulling out. We're losing like two or three major refineries. Our gas prices are going to go fucking through the roof in 26.
I can't think of one actual good thing. I'm not being funny here. That Gavin Newsom has done for the state of California.
And you literally have Democrats in California taking pictures of the gas prices in California, which are the highest in the nation because of the state taxes imposed on them.
Right.
Trump's bullshit. Look at our gas prices. They haven't gone down. Meanwhile, they're $2 and some odd cents in most of the fucking country.
Yeah. Listen,
and I just love how Democrats are like, look at our gas prices. They're super high. Yeah, because of the fucking people you vote for. It's $1.60 at least per gallon of state tax.
So, George, tell us what it means to be an older gentleman that is still blowing the teats of the libs. But honestly, talk to me about the left and the good they do and all that jazz.
The good that they do?
Right.
I'm confused. I mean, put it this way. There are many people out there that are very misguided.
Right.
And they've been sold a bill of goods. But the fact is that, you know, everyone's responsible for who they are, what they do. And, here's the problem that I have. So I was in school, college in the 70s. Okay. So I protested Vietnam War. Okay, I went to protest. So, and then I went to college. And I wasn't I got more conservative in college. But the fact is that what I didn't realize is that all the people my age, 69-year-olds, in that age group, all got ensconced in college as professors. And they completely, indoctrinated a whole generation of kids.
Oh, for sure.
And, mm-hmm. We knew it was happening, but we didn't really see it. Because, again, everything was done because you wanted to care more and you wanted to be nice to people and you wanted to do all these things.
It's called weaponized and suicidal empathy.
Yep.
And
all over the place.
So, it's a very tough, because unwinding it is very difficult, because once you've been indoctrinated, what do you do? And, one interesting thing about Trump is that, again, when he was first elected, there were so many people that couldn't stand him, couldn't listen to him, and went crazy. I mean, these weren't necessarily the anti-Trump syndrome or anything, just regular people.
Right.
But they weren't TDS. The question is that they were, he had a valid viewpoint, and, certainly he is, he plays a lot of people right now, and he does things for effect, and he pisses people off, but he does it for a reason. And he has been outplaying, all the left-leaning Democrats.
100%.
And, so as a poli-sci guy, I appreciate what he's doing in terms of his technique and how he's accomplishing his goals. He's certainly not a king.
No.
He's out of it.
Right.
No kings.
No kings.
Right.
No kings.
We should have a...
I mean, see, here's the thing. If you're going to go and protest and saying no kings, well, you're successful. I mean, their protests work.
Oh, I've said that, yes.
There are no kings. So,
yeah,
exactly.
Way to go. I mean, I agree with you.
Hats.
Hands up.
Let's go and say, no crime.
Everybody on the right agrees with you too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nope, we have no kings. Good job. Yeah. You did a great, amazing thing.
Good for you.
Here's the funniest thing about that. I'm an Episcopalian. Okay. So Episcopalians came from England and were part of the Anglican Church. So when they came to the US, the Anglicans worship the King of England.
Yeah.
That's the head of the church. And what they did, and I saw an actual prayer book in Boston that showed, it was a common book from Anglican from England, and they cross off the word king and put bishop.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore, right. And that was 200 years ago. So, we got rid of the kings 200 years ago.
Right.
And they still haven't come back, nor will they. Not ever. And, anyone who thinks that Trump is a king just doesn't understand history.
Right.
Doesn't understand religion. Basically needs to rethink things.
Well, we know most of the people with the No Kings protest don't either pay attention or know about history.
Right.
And or they're so fucking mentally off their rockers.
Yeah.
They're just like, whatever my friends told me is fucking true.
Yep. Gospel.
We had a guest here at the building yesterday. I gave a tour for, and he's a younger kid and he lives up in New York City. And he had to break the news to his friend group that Mom Donnie's, all of his promises are not coming true because he literally had to tell a bunch of girls who voted for Mom Donnie because they just voted they have to raise the price of bus fare in New York by like 50 cents or something. And the girls were reacting to this like, I thought
Mom Donnie said,
I thought it was going to be free.
Yeah.
Well, that's my point. I'm getting to that. And his name is Max. And he's like, listen, I have to tell you. You all right?
This is cramp.
Okay. Yes. Some water.
I just need to settle for a second.
Yeah.
All right.
Take off the headphones.
So he had to explain to them that, everything that he's promised, he's not going to do. He can't. He's not. There's no way he can do it. And they're like, well, what about? And they started talking about, oh, my rent's going to freeze. And it's like, do you live in a rent-controlled building? They're like, well, no. And he's like, he's not going to freeze your rent. He can't. And they're like, what do you mean? He's like, well, you've been sold a bill of goods, and I have to be the one to break it to you.
Sorry.
And I was like, did they actually believe you? And he's like, yeah. I was like, wow. You can tell people, you can tell people on the left these things, and they'll just look at you and go, that's right-wing propaganda. It's bullshit.
Propaganda, yeah.
But the fact of the matter is, he's making promises he will never be able to do.
A little closer. Yeah.
So.
Well, of course, but that's
and
that's
why I voted for him. Yeah. Voted for him because he is not going to accomplish anything he promised. It will not happen.
Oh no, I know.
I mean, you know, it's a given, but it's giving people a voice to feel like they're participating.
Well, they were saying to him, "It's like, well, he's going to make New York City socialist," and Max is gone.
No,
we live. This is New York City. It's the financial capital of the world.
Yeah, literally. Capitalism.
You think that this place is going to be socialist? You're out of your fucking mind.
Right.
He sold you a bill of goods. It's not going to happen. He's not going to do anything he said. Maybe he'll defund the police.
Right. That he'll do.
No, he won't.
We'll see.
It. He's not going to do it.
Nah.
It won't happen.
But his security.
He'll have the most broken promises. Campaign
he will, for sure.
Of anyone, all time.
And I think he'll fuck up anything that he tries to that he can't even can accomplish. He's going to mess it up big time. It's going to be, I mean, the city's going to turn into a hellhole.
Government grocery stores, bro. Like, what? Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
It's just funny that this, you know, this young kid had to basically tell all of his friend group that.
Sorry.
Not going to happen.
Not going to happen.
I was like, well, at least they have you to tell them.
Yeah. At least you could break the news to them. They live in their little fantasy world and, you know, this could be this way and all that jazz. Be nice.
Well, as I said earlier, like, you know, I have a lot of left-leaning friends, and I think that they're very empathetic towards people with less, you know, immigrants and people that have less. I understand their empathy, but as I've said, it's, you know, it's weaponized empathy from the elites.
Yeah.
Turns into suicidal empathy for, you know, for the voters.
Yeah.
Because that's the only way you allow a mass migration of millions of people into your country that a lot of them don't want to assimilate. They don't want to come into our way of life. They actually want to destroy it.
Yep.
But you're like, okay, we got to let them in because they had a bad time in their country. They're trying to turn our country into their country.
Yeah. It's like, get the...
They're not coming here like our historical immigrants where they came here to assimilate and become part of
the world. Yeah.
I think it's a little more complicated.
Well, it could be.
Because there are quite a few immigrants come in who are serious and believe in America and want to work hard.
Absolutely.
And bust their butts and, you know, pay taxes and do all the things they need to do. So not everyone. But the problem is that because you didn't vet them, you have quite a few people that, you know, are... I mean, what was the statistic? Yes.
Statistical.
In Minnesota,
yeah,
which is at 60% of the Somalians on welfare.
Yes. I think it's higher than that, but yeah. Somewhere it's high.
Yeah. So
that's crazy.
Right.
And they say, well, they're all taxpaying. Well, if you're on welfare,
no, yeah,
you're not taxpayer.
That's the line they use. That's what they always the left.
And then you go and have a food stamp program that doesn't go to people that need food.
Right.
Well, not only are they most of them on welfare, they committed massive fraud, billions of dollars.
Right.
Billions of dollars.
Billions.
Yeah, isn't that crazy, man? And how can that? I mean, they caught it, whatever. How long has that been going on for, you know, and oh my goodness.
Well, I probably ever since they got here.
100%. The funny part is that all the shit that they fund, like we could have solved our homelessness problem with those funds.
Oh yeah.
Well, you could theorize.
Problem can't be solved.
Why?
Because
it's a mental.
We don't have the resources to do it.
Is it the resources or is it that some people just want to live how they want to fucking live, man? They don't even want to be part of society. Some people want to vacate and check out.
They don't want to be.
Most of them are drug addicts.
Yeah. Or and mental health.
If you really want to think about it, the biggest problem in the United States right now in terms of is drugs.
Yep.
Yeah.
And, you know, the whole fentanyl thing, I mean, that is so massive.
It's crazy.
It's killing 70,000 people a year.
Yeah.
But it's doing more than killing 70,000, which is, you know, with Narcan and all that stuff.
Narcan, yeah.
You can go and, you know.
Counteract it.
And, you know, there's guys that have, you know, been, you know, used 20 vials.
Right.
It's not a deal. You know, you take too much and you just do the Narcan and you're fine. And
then on the other side, you have the left all up in arms for Trump taking out drug boats that are bringing this shit into the country.
Right.
It's fucking insane. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
But if you want to solve problems,
right,
take care of the drug problems first.
Well, right? Elon Musk talked about that on Joe Rogan. He said in San Francisco specifically, they will not go bust the drug dealers because they don't want the druggies to leave, because then there'd be less homeless and they would direct less funds into the homeless problem, which is then disseminated to all their fucking cronies.
Yeah.
It's a big money laundering scheme.
It totally is.
Homeless industrial company.
It totally is.
And that's happening in other cities, obviously.
Of course.
And it happens in small towns. For example, you know, we spent a fair amount of time upstate New York and in Maine, and in these small towns, and the drug problems. I mean, you just see the guys walking down the street.
Right.
I mean, they are wasted. When we went up to Sugarloaf, Maine, we went every weekend for a while, and we stopped in, I can't remember what town it was, but we stopped at like a grocery store, you know, good stuff. And the people were all, I mean, they were wasted. I mean, you could just tell they were all drug addicts.
Right.
Yeah.
And, so what you do is, if you don't have hope and you start doing drugs, I mean, it's a downward spiral. And you know, how do you get someone off of drugs is
give them incredible. Better drugs.
And then the leftist city is like, they won't bust drug dealers to keep them homeless.
Right.
And then they give out free needles and
it's like hey,
have more
free needles, free money, food. Yeah, it's crazy.
And I keep saying, like, all these big cities, like Dem run big cities. How bad does it have to get for the citizens to finally go, let's vote another way. Let's try something different. How bad does it have to get in San Francisco or LA or Detroit or Chicago? Like, how bad does it have to get?
A nuclear bomb,
I guess,
type of deal.
It's fucking wild.
Yeah, because it's basically that. And now, you know, like, it's fucking people are shitting in the streets. There's fucking people like homeless towns just set up. And it's like, it's and fucking.
Voters just put up with it. Like, oh, no, it's fine.
Here's my.
They told me to hate Trump, so
I gotta
vote for these people.
So my $3 million property has to have shit on its front lawn because
if I think any other way about this, I'm racist.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like,
but nice empathy. There it is. Anyway.
Cutting off the nose to spite the face and all that jazz.
We're going a little long on this.
Yeah, definitely going long. But George, talk to us about how you got the book out. How did you the process of writing it, and then we'll wrap it up from there.
Sure. So basically, I had an idea that I wanted to write a book, because as I saw all these people that were recovering, not doing the things they should do, how do you reach them? So I've been through Amazon, Kindle Direct Publishing has the ability where you can go and create a file and create a book.
And get a little closer to the mic.
Get a little closer to the mic.
Yeah.
Fine. Oh, this is what it sounds like.
Yes.
Oh. But anyways, so the Kindle self-publishing allows you to publish a book. And again, we use some AI to help, because it's very technical.
Sure.
And I've been able to publish three or four books in the last month.
Wow.
Things that I've been working on, just because I decided to go into it big time. So instead of being a survivor, now I'm an author.
I love it.
Who's a survivor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, my message is that, you know, there's things you got to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, and if you do it, you live a long time. And actually, I'm working on a new book, which is going to be the post-survivor book, which is once you've, you know, you've recovered, what do you do next?
Blow everybody.
And
where
permission,
are they?
Here, use my name in that book if you like.
Okay.
Yes.
By the way, she's going to be front and center in the next book.
And his very cool co-host John Rotolo could be mentioned as well.
I think we're going to put him in too.
Yeah, might as well. Yeah.
But you know, I need to be paid.
Hey now,
there we go.
No. But anyway, so the whole book thing is interesting because what I've been doing in terms of marketing. And I'm not marketing me. What I'm doing is I'm marketing the, you know, survival and, you know, rehab and the heart stuff.
Yeah.
I've been working with Wellspan. And matter of fact, in last August, I threw out the first pitch and they did a video on me, which was on the big screen.
Oh, wow.
My recovery. And in January on ABC, they're going to do a half an hour special. And then also one, they're going to do a 10-minute spot on NBC, the local affiliate.
Nice.
You better be wearing a Gracious 2 shirt, dog.
I will. So it's fun. And then there's going to be a whole campaign because February is the heart awareness.
Black History Month. I don't know that, George. Come on now.
It used to be Black History, but now it's going to be heart awareness.
Oh, okay.
And so I'm going to be doing a fair amount of work for the hospital.
Nice.
And one of the things I want to do is I want to have the book, which is a second chance, given to all the patients, not when they're in the hospital, but after they leave. Because when when you have a heart attack and your brain stops, you're confused for a while.
Chad's just massaging the book so gently. Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. Giving a good plug. Good plug.
You didn't show my name.
I didn't show your name.
You had your fingers
on. Oh, shit. George Taylor, folks.
Yeah.
GT.
If anyone wants the book, you can go on Amazon and just put in.
The Amazon. It's not Amazon. It's the Amazon for you folks out there.
Right. And then just put in a second chance almanac and George Taylor. And it's pretty easy to find. So.
And he also has some lottery numbers in there for future lottery numbers coming up. Yeah, I think did.
Predicted the lottery.
Predicted the lottery. He put a couple, football scores in there as well, I think. So for you folks out there, you want to get your gambling going on, that's the book to buy.
Referring to fucking Back to the Future, too.
Yes. Come on now. I feel like he's Biff. He biffed it. Dude, that's such a cool word to biff something. Yeah. And we're bringing it back. We're biffing it Biff Tannen.
Why don't you make like a tree and get out of here?
Why don't you make like a tree and.
Well, that was such a great line.
That was, man. It's make like a tree and leave.
That's right.
Just so you know. You sound like a fool when you say it wrong. I'm just a real cool jokester. I know all the jokes. I actually wrote that one back in the day. How many screens are in a submarine? None is the answer. That's always the answer. No screens in a submarine. I don't know why. Anywho, that's right. Leaky. Something gets the wheel leaky. No, anywho, George Taylor, talk to me.
You're pretty funny.
Thank you.
You should become a comedian.
Oh, well, you can find me this Tuesday. Actually, no, I'm just kidding. But yeah, George, thank you for coming on. Thank you for writing books.
Yeah,
and thank
Hold
you
up again.
There it is. Second chance.
I'm not going to cover his name this time. All right.
Nope.
Second Chance Almanac.
Second Chance Almanac, baby. Yeah, you got to go out and get it. Good life lessons in there. good. He put some private stuff in there too. His social security number, if you want, is in the book. What else do we have out there, George? Who are you voting for in 2028?
He's already predicted it.
We know who's gonna.
Bill Hines, you're right. We are voting for Bill Hines for president.
J.D. Vance will be elected president.
I think so. Yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. We got.
We'll see.
In my professional opinion.
I believe so. We got 3 more years of the best president ever, and then we got hopefully 8 more years of J.D. All right. A gracious Tuesday, folks. From Think Loud Studios, York, Pennsylvania, Mr. George Taylor. Thank you, Chad Gracie, for saving his life.
Yeah. I want to make one final announcement.
Please.
Because I want to thank Chad Gracie for being there, because without him, I wouldn't be here.
Agreed.
My pleasure, my friend. My pleasure. Glad you're still here with us.
Yes. The world would like to thank Chad Gracie for bringing the beats, bringing the heat on the mic, bringing the coolness to the world, all that jazz. We are the gracious to. What's it?
And for knowing some CPR.
Yeah. He did not give him ass to mouth resuscitation. He gave him the actual CPR, saved his life. You only get it here, folks, in New York, Pennsylvania. The gracious to, folks, it's a gracious Tuesday. Let me go. Black screen.